And 36, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed, verse 36. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, verse 37. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." Let's read verse 38. But he said to them, "Let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." So we see that in chapter 1, our Lord Jesus Christ did many mighty works. He healed many people from sicknesses. He cast out evil spirit. But that's the time that he need to get up early in the morning and went to a solitary place and prayed and, you know, and be close to God. And for us, we know when we're serving God, the most important thing you and I need to do is that we need to cultivate ourselves. Serving and cultivating are two different things. Because serving without cultivating, sooner or later, we'll lose ourselves. And that's why sometimes when you see our brother and sister in church, even though they are serving God, they have no peace and no joy inside their hearts. Because serving God without cultivating themselves becomes very burdensome. Because in church, nobody gets paid for the servitude, right, or for the service. But if we pray to God and God gives us strength to do it, then we always smile because we know that the reward is in heaven. Even though people are looking for him. Because Peter said, what? Everybody's looking for you. I mean, what does that mean? Everybody's looking for him. Why did the people look for him during that time? Any answers? Why people were looking for him during that time? What's that? I'm sorry? Okay, to learn from him, okay. Is that true? They look for him to learn from him, or what they looking for him? What's that? Yes, they want to be healed. Right? They want to be healed. So he actually, healing, of course, is part of our Lord Jesus Christ's ministry, but that's not the main focus. Just like our church also. Miracles and signs is part of the church, but that's not the main purpose. So for example, if someone has cancer and they are truth seekers and they come to our church, and some people say, look, when you are baptized, God will heal you, right? Is that a good way to say that to them? No. Why? Because I know there's plenty of people, just like my father. He had cancer, he was baptized, he was not healed. But what you and I should say that when you are baptized, then what? What should we say? What's that? Yeah, you will be saved. Your sin will be forgiven. And all your previous sin that you have committed in the past will be forgiven. Well, this one truth seeker, I share this with her because her previous life was not too good. So, but she's been come to a church for a long time, and this sister, she has cancer. And quite often people share with her, you know, when you get baptized, you know, God will heal you from your cancer, this and that, right? But she wasn't really touched with that, right, for some reason. But when I share with her, when you are baptized, God will forgive you for all your sin. When you are baptized, then you have the hope of end eternal life. And she started to shed tears. But even though now, you know, she's not doing too well. She's not doing too well. But she know one thing for sure, that during a baptism, God have cleansed her sins away. And this is the most important part. So that's why here, even though many people come and try to be healed from our Lord Jesus Christ, but our Lord Jesus Christ also need to take rest, need to take time. Why? Because his goal is to what? Not to perform miracles and signs. His goal is to do what? To do what? I'm sorry? His goal is to do what? His goal is to do what? What is his purpose? Yes, preaching, right? And in verse 38, right, he said, let's go to the next town, right, that I may preach there also. And this is the reason why I came forth, to preach the gospel. So this is also the goal for you and I, is to preach the gospel to save mankind through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the main purpose. Of course, if you and I have time, it's good to do charity work. It's nothing wrong with that. It's good we can go to do the prison ministry. It's nothing wrong with that. But make sure the ultimate goal is to open people's eyes from darkness to light, to turn people from the eternal condemnation to eternal life. This is our goal. If we do everything and the goal is not to save people's life, then it becomes in vain. So that's why, yes, our Lord Jesus Christ performed miracles and signs, but his goal is always to preach the gospel to save mankind. Then look at verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Verse 41. Then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, and touched him, and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Then verse 42. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. So here, this man who has leprosy, why was he cleansed from his leprosy? Why? Why? What's that? Because of his faith. How do you know he has faith? Huh? Verse 40. So can you explain a little bit? Yes. So if you are willing, when he said to Lord Jesus Christ, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Can you imagine one of us have HIV, right? I have AIDS, right, for example, right? We know it's not curable. Then you just go to a person on the street, right? And say, oh, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Would you do that? Can you, just like this man with leprosy, we know that leprosy cannot be cured. And the other time, the man knew for sure that his leprosy cannot be cured. But he went to our Lord Jesus Christ with such great faith. And said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This is the faith that you and I need to have. Yes, many of us, we transgress against God. We sin against God one way or another. But when you and I pray to repent before God, we must have faith. When we ask God to have mercy on us, to cleanse us from our sin, we must have the faith that he has forgiven us for our sin and move on. But quite often, Satan will not allow you to do that. You and I must have great faith. If this man with leprosy have any kind of doubt that our Lord Jesus Christ can heal from his leprosy, then he would not be healed. So the same thing for us. When we ask our Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness, we must have faith that our Lord Jesus Christ, he's full of love, he's full of mercy, and he's able to cleanse us from our sin. That is very important. That's why in the book of Proverbs, say what? Even the righteous man can fall 7 times. But this righteous man, every time he falls, he knows he can get up again by the strength of God. None of us are perfect sitting here. Include myself. I also sin against God. But we must repent the right way. But it doesn't mean you and I continue to sin against God. Repentance, this means what? Stop doing the things that we are doing. That is true repentance. And what else? Why was this man healed beside his faith? Besides faith. What else? What other reason? You guys sleepy this morning? What else? What other reason? Why was he healed? Yes?
I'm sorry.
He was humble. Yes, he was humble too, right? Because he's willing, right? Look at what he said here, right? Now the leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him. Kneeling down to him. So when you and I ask God for forgiveness, we must do with a humble heart. We must do with a humble heart. No, that's why during baptism, right? A lot of churches do baptism, what? Facing backward. And that is that humility? Forgive me, God. Right? No, we humble ourselves before God. Of course, it's not the kneeling that makes us humble, but the kneeling should demonstrate that our hearts that we are humble before God. Really, look at David. Between David and Saul, actually David committed much more sin than Saul. 8 out of 10 commandments David commit. But what's the difference? Because David truly repented before God. The minute he realized it was him, right? He kneeled down and he asked God for forgiveness. But Saul always finds excuses. Oh, the reason I did this because of these people. The reason I did that because of that people. And that's why he cannot be forgiven. So that's why it's so important too. Not only you and I have faith to go before Jesus Christ and understand that he can forgive us, but also you and I need to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Because those of us who humble ourselves, God will exalt it. When you and I sin against God, of course, automatically, we should humble ourselves. That means whatever transgression that you and I have done, we don't go around and tell other people, right? We don't go around and be proud of what we have done that is wrong. That's not being humble. But rather, when you and I humble ourselves, we ask God for forgiveness, then we really should stop what we're doing. Because I know some youth, they commit fornication, they feel very proud, they go around and share with all the other brothers and sisters what they have done, right? And how many girls they've been with, and how far they got with a girl and stuff like that. That's not humility. When we do things like that, God can never forgive us. There's no room for forgiveness. If we boast in our iniquity, and we boast in our transgressions. But the things that we have done, we must humble our heart, really. Just like the tax collector in the temple praying to God, right? He's not even can lift up his eyes before God and say, have mercy on me, right? I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And God exalted him. God exalted. What else? What else? What else? So really, when we study this, taken to our own life, right? And how we ask God to forgive us, to cleanse us from our sin also. And we do it exactly the same thing, and God will answer our prayer. What is the other thing, why he was cleansed? Yes? I'm sorry? So he can go out and spread the word. Actually, that's not a reason, right? Remember, Jesus told him not to go out and spread, right, what he had done. And that is the faults that he had, actually, right? We go there later, right? But what else he was cleansed? What other reason he was cleansed? Yes, brother. Oh, it's God's will. Okay, we can say it's God's will. Okay. I mean, it's true. God's will is for everybody to be cleansed. But if you have no faith, if you don't have humility, right, you're not going to be cleansed. But what else? Huh? To praise God. Okay. But during this time, it's true that when you are cleansed, you praise God. But actually, during this time, Jesus said, no, don't go and tell anyone you are cleansed, right? Don't tell anyone. There's a purpose for that, right? But what else? What other reason he was cleansed? I mean, it's right, yes. Okay, he came to him, okay? Remember, there's this, when we talk about, asking forgiveness and being cleansed, it's always a two-way street, right? It's like a covenant. If you do what you need to do, and then I'm willing, right, to clean you. Sister, you can say me? Yes, Jesus is willing. What? What is that willingness? Why was Jesus willing? Yes, he was moved with compassion. Of course, I know that you guys know, but you just cannot see it sometimes, right? But he was moved with compassion. Actually, you and I also should learn this from our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only being the lepers, but also being like our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Because we're trying to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ, right? So when someone have wronged us, when someone asks us, please, no, forgive me, right? Forgive me. And sometimes for us, if they wrong us, we're not willing to forgive them. Why? Because we don't have compassion upon them. We don't have compassion upon them. If you and I have compassion upon them, just like our Lord Jesus Christ, what is the action that our Lord Jesus Christ shows his compassion? What is the action that our Lord Jesus Christ shows his compassion? Yes, he stretches out his hands, right? And touch the lepers. Can you do that as a person? No. Why? Because leprosy is very contagious. The minute you touch that person, you yourself will have leprosy. You know, sometimes when we show compassion upon our brother and sister have wronged us, have done something wrong, we really must reach out to them. And sometimes it takes a lot of burden. In Big Island, Hawaii, there's a famous priest. His name is Damien, right? Damien. And in the early years in Big Island, a lot of people with leprosy, they put them in one area. And the time, Father Damien, he knew that if he go there to live among the lepers, he also would have leprosy. But because he wanted them to be saved, he wanted them to hear the gospel, he went to live among them. Then, of course, he preached the gospel, and he also had leprosy. But just 2 years ago, I think the Catholic Church made him to become a saint. So a lot of people trying to dig up for his body because his body worth a lot of money, right? So a lot of people trying to find his finger and his toes and things like that. It's quite crazy, right? So I heard someone, find his thumb or something like that, and it's worth like $5 million, something like that, right? His thumb, right? But we don't know that it's true or not true, whatever it is, right? But people try to find his body because, the church pretty much ordained him as being a saint. But actually, you look at this Father Damien, he knew. I mean, everybody know Father Damien in history, how such a wonderful person he was. And he's willing to sacrifice his life to go and preach the gospel among the lepers. That is the action of love. I mean, you think the lepers would hear him when he's there? Of course they would, right? Because why would you go there to preach the gospel if you don't have compassion upon them? Right? So, yes, he died from leprosy, but his deed, I'm sure God will remember. But so the same thing for us. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ, he had compassion on him, right? And stretched out his hand and touched him. This is the action of love. You and I cannot say, oh, I have compassion on you. But we have no action to show it. Remember the one lost sheep. When the man went out and he find his lost sheep, what was the first thing he did? Yes, he put it on his shoulders, right? I mean, how big was the sheep? It's not a little lamb, right? It's a sheep. You know, sheep can weigh up to how many pounds? Huh? Actually, it can weigh up to like 300 pounds, right, sheep? We don't know how heavy the sheep is. Can you imagine this man is seeking for the sheep? And then the sheep is lost, not because of the man, because the sheep is stupid, right? If you go there, you find the sheep, why are you lost? Right? You kick it, right? But actually, this man, right, this man, put on his shoulder. And where did he bring him? Where did he bring him? Huh? No. Not back to the fold. Because he's tired. You understand? You know why the man bring him to, put him on his shoulder? Because even though the man, I'm sure he was tired, but he knew the sheep also was tired, right? And I'm sure he was scared, right? The sheep is by himself. He must have been scared, tired, and stuff like that. Just like many brothers and sisters who left the church for a while, right? When they come to church, sometimes they say, hey, what are you doing here? We haven't seen you for so long, right? When you say that kind of stuff, you like kick them in the head, right? But no, you put them on your shoulder. And of course, where did he bring the sheep to? You got to find out. You say the wrong answer, you got to find the right answer now. His bosom, okay. Where did, yeah, he did put on his shoulder, not his bosom, put on his shoulder. But where did he bring him to? Find it. Home, we brought him home. Why home is different than the fold, right? Because that's where he knew that the sheep need more nurturing. So at home, the man can take more time, right? Take more time. Then, of course, he can go out to the fold afterward, right? So ultimately, you are right, sister. Later on, he'll bring him back to the fold. He cannot stay home forever, right? But in the beginning, he must stay, what, home, Bible, so we have time to nurture him. So the same thing for us. That's why when we show compassion, remember when Peter walked into the beautiful temple, right, the beautiful gate, and the lame man was there, lame for over 40 years. Then when Peter said, you know, I have nothing, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. What did Peter do before then? What did Peter do when he said that? What did he do? Someone say what? What did he do? Yes, take him, right? Take him by the hand. Because, you know, when a person has been lame for 40 years, even though he had faith to be healed, but he hadn't got up for 40 years, you need someone to help you up, right? To the initial faith to be able to walk. The same thing with our brothers and sisters. They're weak in their faith, they're not able to walk for a long time. We cannot just go, you know, rise up and walk without helping them. Without helping them. Okay? And then, look at verse 42. Verse 42. Of course, when our Lord Jesus Christ stretched out his hand, and then I am willing, be cleansed. This is so beautiful, right? So beautiful. This is the compassion that our Lord Jesus Christ have for you and I. If we have faith, we are humble and go before him and ask him to forgive us, he will have compassion on us. Then he will cleanse us from our sin. That's how loving he is. But for you and I, quite often we are not like this. But if we want to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ, this is what you and I must do. If any one of you sitting here, if you cannot forgive a person, you must pray harder. Because if you cannot forgive a person, a heavenly Father will also not forgive you. Right? That's what the Bible said. So that's why in the Bible there's only two sins that God cannot forgive, right? The first one is what? Blaspheme the Holy Spirit, right? And the second one is what? What's that? Yes, love your neighbor as yourself, but I mean, what's that mean if you cannot love your neighbor? Actually, just like I said, right, if you cannot forgive your neighbor, our Lord Jesus Christ won't forgive you also. Forgiveness is also very important. So that's why here, when our Lord Jesus Christ, he is God himself. We don't know why this man has leprosy. But we know one thing for sure, our Lord Jesus Christ has so much compassion on him and willing to touch him and heal him. So who are we to hold the grudges if someone have wronged us? We should forgive them. There's no need to be upset with them, because they are our brothers and sisters. So forgive one another is important. Look at verse 42. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Can you imagine, right? This man, we have no idea how many years he even struck with leprosy. But when our Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him, his leprosy left him. How wonderful this is. How many of us have experienced this kind of miracle so quickly, right? Something wrong with us, we just, you know, pray, and then God will just heal us. Have anybody witnessed this at all? Actually, I witnessed one time when I was in Africa. So this brother in Africa, we heard that he made a lot of money. He made a lot of money. So how he make a lot of money, because he built toilets, right? He has his toilets, and he charged people 3 cents, 5 cents, and use the toilet, right? Because you know in Africa, they just have a hole in the ground, that is the toilet. But this brother has like fancy toilet, which is like the toilet bowl, and you know, and 4 walls, right? So, and a lot of people go there and use the toilet. So we went there, you know, we just got there not so long ago. So we went there and asked him, you know, oh, thank God, right? We heard that you made a lot of money in your toilet business, you know? And it's like, oh, no, no, not really. People who told you that, they are lying. That's what he said, right? And it's like, oh, okay. And then we traveled the land for like about 5 weeks. Then we came back. So when we came back and we saw this man crawling up the stairs to see us, and we asked him, what's going on with you? He said, what happened when we went to visit him and we asked him, you know, that we told him that we heard he make a lot of money. The reason why he lied to us, because he want us to give him more money. Even though God blessed him with so much money already, right? He want us to give him more money. That's why he lied. He said he didn't make too much money. And the minute we left, he got sick. He could not walk. All he can do is crawl. So for him, he couldn't wait for us to come back, right? So when we came back, he, you know, crawled up the stairs where we were staying. Then he told us this story. And then he said, please pray for me. Then we just prayed for him. Then he got up, said thank you, and he just left. Yeah, just like that. And me and the other pastors look at each other like, okay, you know? Because we never see how God works so quickly like this. That brother, he also knew that if he just repented and asked us to pray for him, he would be healed from his infirmity. And that's what happened. I mean, he was crawling. He looks awful. But the minute we prayed for him, he was healed. And then he walked out and he knew. That's why he didn't make a big deal out of it, right? He just said thank you and then he just left. So this is kind of power that God manifests. But we had to repent the right way, you and I. And then, verse 43. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. Verse 44. And said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and to offer your cleansing, those things which Moses commanded, as a testimony to them. So here, why did that Jesus Christ did not want him to go and tell everybody? Why? Why? What's that? Okay, it wasn't the time yet. Okay, it wasn't the time yet. Okay. What else? What other reasons? Huh?
I'm sorry.
Yes. Other people also want to get healed as well. So because of this, Jesus Christ would not have time to do what? Yes, to preach. To preach. You know, quite often nowadays in our church, we want God to perform miracles and signs, right? But that's not the main purpose. If people come to our church because of miracles and signs only, then they also will leave when there's no miracles and signs. But God wants us to preach the gospel. That is the basic way of salvation. Miracle and sign cannot bring a person into eternal life. But preaching the true doctrine, the way of salvation, that is our goal. And that's why this man, look at verse 45. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in the desert places, and they came to him from every direction, you see, right? Because our Lord Jesus Christ wanted to go and be able to preach the gospel first. Then he, you know, he performed miracles and signs. And you can see throughout his whole ministry is like this. So, but if this man is already healed, then he goes in there, and then everybody do not want to hear the gospel. All they want to see is for them to be healed. They want just to see miracles and signs. So don't be surprised in our church nowadays, right? There's not too many miracles and signs. For me, it's because of this reason. We have the truth. We preach the truth. But miracle and sign will come later. But if miracle and sign comes first, if TJC is known for miracle and sign, all people want to do is come here to be healed from their physical ailment, right? Not from their spiritual ailment. But we must focus on the spiritual disease first. We must focus on the soul of mankind first, because that's what's important. If a person is about to die, and they get healed and then they resurrected, I mean, they're still alive, is it a guarantee to continue to come to church? No, not at all. Not at all. The same thing for our brothers and sisters. We experience this many times. When our brothers and sisters have some kind of physical ailment, they come to church, they pray. Now God heal them. They're very healthy. Then they don't come to church anymore. I remember my coworker, one of my coworkers, because you know when I first came to Christ, I just feel I want to preach to everybody, right? I just feel very excited. So every day during lunchtime, I would preach to my coworker, right? And of course, we're eating lunch, they have nowhere to go. So when I preach to them, they have nowhere to go, right? They just listen to me. And then one night, actually, she had a liver failure. She could not eat and she could not drink. And she was hospitalized. And when she's in the hospital, she pretty much was dying. Because they're waiting to do surgery that following Sunday. But she shared with me that she was dying. And then she, all of a sudden, she thought about, you know, the time that I preached to her and how I shared, you must pray to God like this, right? Because she's Buddhist. But when she, you know, when she thought about it, then she just fell asleep. And when she fell asleep, there's a man showed up and told her, you must pray. And it was not, you know, and of course she's Cambodian, right? But the man spoke to her in Cambodian. Right? It's very interesting, right? I mean, she understands English too, but he spoke to her in Cambodian. So she took her IV and everything, right? Because she had a roommate then. And she didn't want to kneel down and say hallelujah in front of a roommate, right? So she went to the bathrooms with her IV and everything. She went there and then she kneeled down and prayed. And she said hallelujah, hallelujah. And during that time, she felt power came upon her. And then she went back to bed and she was sound asleep. And then the next day, the doctor see if she can drink water and eat food. Not only she can drink water, she ate solid food also. And then Sunday comes, Sunday morning, they get a prepper for surgery and things like that. But even though the doctors say it was pretty much hopeless, but when they look at her, she was completely healed. Nothing wrong with her. And thank God, just happened that weekend, one of the pastors came to visit Boston, and we went to pray for her in the hospital. And she was completely, completely healed. That Sunday, she's supposed to have this major surgery, and we don't know if going to work or not. But that Monday, she came back to work. She, until now, she's completely healed. She was so excited to come to our church, right? She couldn't wait. And where is she now? She didn't come to church. Because during that time, her husband was a devout Buddhist, and he told her, look, you know, we pray for you. Buddha, the one that healed you. Not Jesus, right? Not Jesus. She knew very clear. And then, of course, I gave her a Bible, and she was reading it. But her husband said, if I see you reading the Bible, I'm going to beat you up. Of course, you know, the Asian culture is like that, right? The men say, and she was got scared. So every time she go to the bathroom, she would read the Bible, right? In the bathroom. But she cannot do that for so long, right? Because she could not go to church because her husband would not allow her to go to church. So after, you know, a month later, so she just forgot, right? So miracles and signs does not bring a person, right, to find eternal life. So you and I need to realize this, but rather what you and I have now. So that's why this man, he went out, because he's excited, right? Jesus healed me from leprosy. I want everybody to see, right? But he had to listen to a religious cry because of this. He stopped the progress of preaching. Instead, a religious cry had to stay out. Even though he stayed out in the desert places, but they still go out, right, should be healed. Because here, look, and they came to him from every direction. Why? To be healed. Why? To be healed. So that's why for us, we also must realize how important it is to preach the gospel. Of course, miracles and signs will follow. Miracles and signs will follow. That is the promise from our Lord Jesus Christ. But we must preach the gospel first. Let them understand the word of God first. So when they, you know, when they experience the miracles and signs, they know it's from God, not from anywhere else. Let's go to the next one. Any question, any thought? Yes. You You know, sometimes when our Lord Jesus Christ heals us from a certain things, and you got to pray, right? You got to pray and ask, Lord, do you want me to share this with other people? Do you want me to testify this to other people? Because sometimes it's between you and God. For example, when Joseph had the vision of the dream, right? Was he supposed to share with his brothers and his parents? What do you guys think? Huh? You guys think it's yes? If you think about this, right? If you were Joseph's second the youngest, right? Now Joseph say, I'm going to be ruler over all of you, right? This is the vision that I got. You think his brothers would be very happy? Actually, his brother what? Hate him even more. You understand? So for me, actually, he's not supposed to tell that to his brother. It's between him and God. And also his father, his parents. His parents also will bow before him too, right? As parents, you think, how are you going to feel? I think my son is going crazy. That's what it is, right? Actually, the dream, actually, because when you tell someone a dream that you have, if they hate you even more because of that dream, this means you're not supposed to tell your dream. You're not, keep it to yourself. Because if you look at the context, the content of the dreams, it's really between him and God. Why? Because Joseph is going to go through many trials and tribulations. But God wants him to hold on because toward the end, God is going to use him to be the prime minister, to be someone great. And that is the encouragement that God wants him to have before he was sold, right? Before he was slave, before he was in prison. All these things. He must hold on to this dream that he had. But he's not supposed to share that to all his brothers and stuff like that. What was the benefit when he shared to his brothers and his parents? What was the benefit? What was the benefit? Got him thrown into the pit, right? That's the benefit. Right? Actually, there's no benefit for his brothers to hear this, right? Can you guys think of any benefit if you tell them the vision, anything? Actually, there's no benefit. Especially, you know, God gonna, you know, use you and to do something great. And then you also have the other 10, 11 brothers. You know, they're old, the 10 brothers older than you. And now you're going to tell them that you, the one that God can be chosen to do this. It's not really a good thing to do, right, to share with them. Okay? So that's why there's a lot of things that you have to pray about, right? Really pray about it. I mean, sometimes when I pray, and I see things too, right? Sometimes God show me things, and I cannot just go. Let me share you one of the things that I saw. And then I had to pray to God to see, should I share this with a person or not? So what I see when I was praying, I saw I went to this couple's house. And this couple, and all of a sudden I saw his wife, she was watching pornographic. And I see it very clearly. And she indulged herself in watching pornographic. And then I see this brother, even though he's at home, but he's in his office. In his office, he have longing eyes for this, for his co-worker. And of course, the co-worker, she had very big breasts. Right? Very big breasts. So this is what I saw, right? And then for me, I don't know what to do. Should I talk to them? Should I not talk to them? And this and that, right? Because I prayed about it. I prayed about it, and then finally, it just a voice in my head said, you must share this with them to make them understand that God loves them very much. Right? So I shared with the brother, and the brother was in shock, right? Because I described that woman. I never seen his co-worker and stuff before, but I described everything about her, right? And of course, he knew it was from God, right? Because God, you know, allowed me to see, to tell him he must stop. Then the same thing with his wife, right? Same thing with his wife. I mean, who would know? And of course, the pornographic that he saw is a certain kind of people, right? No one would know, but I saw it very clearly. I don't want to go into details, but I saw exactly what kind of pornographic she likes. And of course, you cannot guess and say this. You must see it to know it. So, but thank God, after that, they repented, and they really stopped what they, you know. And because of this, the brother, he just cut his relationship with the co-workers because he knew that it was a warning sign for him, because if not, he might die spiritually. And the same thing for his wife, right? Same thing with his wife. So that's why whatever you and I, God give us experience, we must pray. Is it good to share with, you know, the congregation or not? You must pray about it. But quite often it's between you and God. And I also have certain things like this too, but when I pray about it, God just tell me that is just between me and Him. That's it. For me to know certain things, but not to share with anyone. So it's important. And that's why, you know, for this young man, of course, sometimes, you know, it's good to share when God wants you to share. But now he stopped the growth of the preaching in that area. Because he was so excited, right, to share. Because he wanted to glorify God. But it's not God's timing. It's not the time yet for people to hear all these things. So praise and thank God. Let's kneel down and pray and conclude our morning class.